Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Doing really? How are you doing? You guys worn out from this last week? Thanksgiving? Still alive? How many of you guys ate too much? Seriously. How many of you just went, you did really good. You're really proud of yourself this year. One guy. Okay, we should all talk to that guy right over there afterwards and see what his trick is. I tried to work out on Thanksgiving, and at least I tried. So, so tonight we have kind of a lot to talk about, but I'm going to try to do it in a timely matter. Hopefully, I'm going to say it all the time when I speak. Hopefully you're here to learn. Hopefully you're here to apply what you hear. And if you hear something that you just kind of hits you, kind of, you know, speaks to you, it might come out of my mouth. It might just come out of your head. I don't know, right? If it does, maybe it's God speaking to you, and maybe you need to take that and let it be your own homework. This is a process, this thing called faith, right? Yeah. It really is. I mean, some of us think that it's just supposed to happen. It's just supposed to be automatic, that we're just supposed to wake up. You know, you make a decision to follow Jesus, and then all of a sudden you wake up and everything's perfect. It's not exactly how it works, is it? Yeah, it's work. And so tonight is no different. We're going to put some work in. We're going to have some fun. But I have a topic for tonight. I've been trying to kind of do topical stuff on Wednesdays. There's not a lot of, I don't really know what the flow is normally on Wednesdays. I know that it's kind of all over the place. And so I know my dad's doing a Bible study once a month, and he's doing his thing. And so he kind of gives us the leeway to do our thing. And so I've been trying to come up with topics, and this week a topic just came to me, and I usually, you know, I didn't have to beg God for it this time, which is good, because usually I'm crying before I have to speak, and, you know, I have to figure it out. But this week the thought of anger hit me really hard, and maybe it's because I'm personally prone to it a little bit. You may not realize that because I'm so nice, but, you know, it's something I've dealt with for a long time. And whether you are considered by your friends and family a hothead, okay, or you're not. I think anger affects us in a lot of different ways. Some of you guys, there's like two types of people in here tonight, right? There's a type of people that just, they have to say something as soon as it makes them upset. They have to handle it right away. My wife is like that. Like, she handles it right away. And so she's handling things all the time. Like, she's very confrontational, and I'm scared of her. But then there's people like me who just hold it in and smile until one day it just gets really ugly, right? So I don't know what type of person you are, but I think this can affect us all, and there's some good stuff in here that you might not expect from this kind of a talk. So that said, let's pray, and let's get into it, all right? Father, we just thank you so much for this night. It's a Wednesday night. It's cold. It's rainy outside. I know a lot of people didn't make it tonight because of that, and maybe they're watching online. I pray that you just bless the sermon in their home or in their car or wherever they are. I pray that you would just speak to them just as much as you'd speak to everybody in this place. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would all have open hearts to you tonight. Lord, that we would be open to be on your operating table tonight. I pray, God, that you would just find the things. You know where they are. You know exactly where they are, but you'd reveal those things to us that you need to reveal to us that need to be dealt with, and I pray that we would be open to that. I pray for a softness of heart, but I also pray for determination to put the work in after the fact tonight, and I just thank you that you're going to speak to us and show us what you need to. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to start off in the book of Genesis. I love starting in the book of Genesis. If I can ever start in the book of Genesis, that's where I like to start because it's the beginning. It's the very, 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 very beginning. I think you can learn a lot from the beginning. So when I thought of anger, one of the stories that came to mind was Genesis chapter 4, and that's the story of Cain and Abel. The first murder. How many of you guys like are into like the murder mystery shows? Yeah, you guys are the ones we got to watch because you're learning is what you're doing. You're taking notes. there's been a huge influx of popularity of these these kinds of stories. Well, this is the first murder mystery. It wasn't really much of a mystery because there was only like five people. So, but this is the beginning. And this is where anger kind of creeps in. So we're going to read it and talk about it, okay? So Genesis 4:1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife. They had sex, okay? And she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. So if you don't know anything about the Bible, which is possible, Adam and Eve, first people ever. So there's them, and then they have kids, right? It says, and they're two boys, and their names are Cain and Abel. How many men in here have a brother? Anybody? Have you ever been mad at them? All right, so that's, you get it, right? You understand what could happen. Hopefully, it doesn't result in murder for you, but for them, that's what it resulted in. So in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, okay? So Cain brings God an offering because he is a farmer. He's a farmer. Farms fruit from the ground. Pumpkins, I don't know, what are they? Something from the ground, right? He farms, I guess it could be a tree, it could be anything. He farms, so he brings fruit to God. It says, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat and of their fat portions. And it says this, it says, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, okay? But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So God had no regard for Cain and his offering. And it says, so Cain was very angry, okay? So he's really upset because he did something that he thought was good. Now, I've heard this passage preached many times before, and some pastors will say that Cain didn't really bring his best to God, and that's why God had no regard for it. I don't know if that's the case or not because it's not really spelled out here. But what is spelled out is that for some reason, whatever reason, God had no regard for Cain's offering, but he did have regard for Abel's offering. And there's if your brother is getting favor and you're not, you're going to feel this feeling, right, of like maybe jealousy or frustration or whatever it might be, competitiveness, I don't know. So Cain feels this. He feels this anger. And the Lord says to Cain, why are you angry? So God just immediately realizes it immediately as a good heavenly father comes to Cain and says, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? And then this is a really important part. God says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? So God is saying, okay, all right, let's just stop this real quick, okay? And let's just say that you're angry. We get it. You're upset. You still have an opportunity to stop this. You have an opportunity to do something about it. Have you ever felt angry before? Right? Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That just happens, right? And I will explain. We'll kind of get into how that happens here in a minute. But all of us have felt anger and frustration before. But it's what we do with that anger that matters. And so Cain gets an opportunity here to stop himself in the tracks, okay? It says, if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. God's saying this to Cain. Its desire is contrary to you. So sin wants to take you off your tracks. Like sin wants to take you off the path that you're on. That's really what sin is. Sin is basically a distraction from the good that you're supposed to be doing. Sin is a distraction from where you're supposed to be. That's basically what it is. It says, and God says, but you must rule over it. In my opinion, I think that God knew that Cain had some issues with anger and maybe self-control, and I think God was testing Cain here. And I think that he was giving him an opportunity to learn to fix this, right?
Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So Cain decides to do a different thing, right? He decides to just see where this thing goes, and it escalates, and he kills him. And I've never killed anybody. I'm just telling you that right now. Never done it. But I have been angry before. I have a story to tell you. It's called my McDonald's story, okay? I'm going to tell you this story. This happened. It's a true story, 100% true. It happened here in Bakersfield at the McDonald's downtown on 24th Street, okay? So I'm 19, 20 years old, somewhere in there. I'm at church on a Sunday morning. I go to the early service. I'm not an early riser, so I wake up. I don't eat breakfast. I sit through the entire sermon. My dad's speaking, great speaker, awesome, but I'm hungry, so I'm getting angry because I'm hungry. And and I think, you know what? If I get out of here on time, right, I think I can make it to McDonald's downtown. I'm going to go to my girlfriend's house after that, but I think I can get there just in time to order an Egg McMuffin, right? Breakfast from McDonald's. But how do you guys, well, you guys know that what happens with breakfast at McDonald's, or at least it used to. They had a hard deadline about that breakfast. Like, they would stop serving at 10:30, right? So I'm sitting there in service. I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, okay, Dad, wrap it up, you know? And I'm thinking, I just need to get to this Egg McMuffin. This is what's on my mind. Not Jesus, not God, not the Bible. Egg McMuffin, that's what's on my mind. So I get in my truck, and I start heading downtown. And I'm like, I'm going pretty fast, but I make it there, okay? I make it to McDonald's in time. I get up to the loudspeaker, and I look at my watch, and it's 10:25, okay? I've got, like, a good solid 5 minutes. I made it. I'm there. And so I get up there, and I say, excuse me, I would like a, and the lady, she stops me right there. She says, you're going to have to hang on, sir. You're going to have to hang on a minute. So I'm like, okay. It's cool. I'm here. 10:31. Okay, 10:31, she gets back on the loudspeaker, and she says, may I help you? Yes, I would like to order a Egg McMuffin, please. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, we stopped serving breakfast at 10:30. So by this point, there was a line in the McDonald's drive-thru, and I was in a little S10 truck, little Toyota truck, and there was somebody in front of me, there was somebody behind me, but I started feeling this feeling of heat and just, like, full-on anger, just like mad. I'm losing my mind right now, okay? Because I had been thinking about this for a whole hour, and you know, time is precious. So I'm in the driveway or drive-through, and she asked me, would you like something else? And I'm like, no, I don't want anything else. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, but I wanted an Egg McMuffin. That's all I wanted. So I basically there's people behind me, there's people in front of me, there's like a little curb to the right of me. So I think, well, no big deal. I'll just, this thing's four-wheel drive. I'm fine. I'll just, you know, crank it and go right over. Well, I do that, and unfortunately, there's a bit of a drop on the other side. And so my truck actually ends up high-centering on this curb. And so now I'm, like, stuck, and there's people behind. There's like parents with children. They're, like, watching this situation. And so I'm thinking, what do I do? What am I going to do? Call AAA? I mean, really, this is crazy. So I do what any normal person would do in this situation. I put it in gear and I just gun it, right? Just my tires start smoking in the McDonald's drive-thru, like 100% smoking. All of a sudden they catch. I fly right into the bushes. Straight up, this really happened. 24th Street McDonald's, 1999-ish. So then I just put it in reverse and backed up out of the bushes and drove off. Unfortunately, I have a few stories like that. Some of them aren't that funny, though. Some of them are like, okay. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you just so I've really wondered and thought, like, what happened there? What was going on there? And so I recently found an article on Psychology Today, and it explains what happened to me that day. See, there's three factors that have to do with an incident like this. Okay. First, it's your personality. I guess I'm a little crazy. I don't know, but I guess that's my personality. I'm just a little off, right? So if you have a certain type of personality, if you're competitive, right? If you're narcissistic, if you're just like the type of person that like could blow up pretty fast, then that's a factor. The other factor is your emotional state, right? Your emotional state. I was hungry and angry. What do they call that? Angry, yeah. I hate that term. I hate it. But I'm not going to blow up about that. The third thing is personal interpretation of the situation. And so in my mind, you know, I thought that that lady that was working at McDonald's was just hated me completely and just wanted to ruin my day. No, I don't know what I really thought. But there's these factors that play into our anger. It doesn't just happen, right? Like we don't just blow up out of nowhere because we're happy. There's a lot going on inside of here. Like a lot. And I've been reading a lot about emotions and about emotional control. And I'm learning that, and I learned this first in the Bible, but I'm like reading other things too. And I've learned that we have a lot more control over ourselves than we think we do. Like emotions don't just happen. They're kind of a habit. I was talking to my dad about it one day. And, I think we were talking about anger and blowing up and being frustrated. And he just told me, he's like, you know, it's a habit. It's a habit. It really is. It's something that if you allow yourself to do this, then you're going to do it. And I was reading, I watched a TED Talk from this lady named Lisa Feldman Barrett. I have a book from her, too. And she's a neuroscientist. And she talks about this new research, brand new research that's coming out about how we have so much more control of ourselves. One of the quotes from her TED Talk is, your brain does not react to the world necessarily. Your brain uses past experiences, and your brain actually predicts and constructs your experience. And so basically what happens is like this happens really fast in our brains, but we predict how things are going to go before they happen. And so when you blow up, it's because you're expecting it to blow up. You're expecting things to happen. You're basically priming yourself to get upset. Like when you're on the road and you're driving and your family's in there and someone cuts you off and you scream at them and yell and who knows what else happens, right? Like that's probably because you've been thinking negatively all day, right? You've probably been thinking, about something else. Something else is going on. You're priming yourself up for that blow up. And it's interesting when I read about all this science, and I like science. I like reading about science. I think about that Nacho Libre scene where he's like, I don't believe in God, I believe in science. I believe in both. I think that science is catching up to what Jesus said and the Bible says, right? Like, I think it's really interesting. But Jesus actually said something about this a long time ago. And you kind of have to read between the lines a little bit, but let's just read this real fast. Mark 7:14-23. He says, he called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, okay? In other words, the world doesn't happen to you. Circumstances don't necessarily happen to you. Yes, bad things happen, right? But you're in control. It says, the things that come out of a person are what defile him. The things that come out of you, right? If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 17. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. Is this the right one? 17? Yeah. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person? I'll stop there. Basically, whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him. So it's not your circumstances that happen to you. Next verse. Actually, one more. Sorry, guys. One more verse. Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. He's talking about food. Next verse. Is that it? Okay, that's probably it. All right. No, there's another one. All right, so from within. Okay, there we go. This is the part I was trying to get to. So from within, out of the heart of man. It was simple back in the day when we actually read our Bibles. Anyway. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery. From within, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, right? All these things, all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And I would say that anger is the same way. It comes from within. And that way of thinking is hard for us to swallow sometimes because Jesus said a long time ago that basically it's our responsibility how we react to this world. It's our responsibility how we choose to act. And so if you're blowing up all the time, if you're angry all the time, it's because you're allowing yourself to be angry all the time. You're allowing yourself to think negatively. You're allowing yourself to think that you are being taken advantage of, or you know, whatever it is. You have the ability to react in a different way. You have much more control of yourself than you even realize, right? And so that's really interesting stuff. Now, talking about anger, I need to mention that not all anger is bad. Okay, I need to make sure that we understand that too. I was talking to my buddy the other day about anger, about being upset about something, and we had breakfast, and he's like, "I'll be praying for you." I was like, "Sweet, thank you." So like literally an hour later, he texts me. He says, "Hey, I was praying for you." He actually did what he said he was gonna do, and he said, "I really felt like God told me that that situation that you're in, you were right to be angry about it," and I thought to myself, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, some of my reactions weren't right, but maybe the source of it was right. There is such a thing called righteous anger, and it comes straight from God. Now, sometimes we can take it too far, but God gets angry. He does. We see this with Jesus in Matthew 21. Let's look at that really fast. So Jesus entered the temple. So Jesus, this is when he's in Jerusalem near the end of his career, right? And so he enters the temple and he drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturns the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons for some reason, those guys. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." And so there's this righteous anger, and we'll stop there. There's this righteous anger where we find Jesus at the end of his ministry, where he's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. This is like real stuff. This is big stuff. And He walks into the temple, and he realizes that it's not just being used to bring people close to God. It's being used to allow people to come in and sell things and take advantage of each other. It's being used as a place where that isn't safe. It's being used as a place where it's allowing these people to come in and lead God's people astray. And I've noticed that when... I don't know about you guys, but when I see this kind of thing happen, you know, not just physically in church, but like when I see this thing happen in people's lives and I see people being taken advantage of by people that know better, I get really frustrated and really angry at that. And I believe that that comes from God. I really do. Now, there's a responsible way to handle that anger, but if you look throughout the Bible over and over and over, pretty much every time God is angry himself, it's because he's protecting his children. It's because he's looking out for the people that he loves, right? And it's a much different way of looking at God. People think of God as an angry God, but they don't understand why. I'm a parent now. I have a child. If anybody messes with my kid, I'm going to punch him, right? Like, I'm gonna go after him. I'm going to tackle him. I'm going to do whatever I can. Like, if you mess with my kid, that doesn't work, right? You guys are the same way, right? With your kids. Like, you're going to protect your family. And that's how God is. He's protective. There's some verses that talk about God's anger, and it kind of puts perspective on that. Check out Psalm 35 real fast. "For his anger is but for a moment," okay? His anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. This is God. This is who he is. Yes, he gets angry, but his favor is so much bigger, and there's so much more of that than there is anger. "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." The next scripture is Psalm 86:15. "But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger." He's very slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. One more, Psalm 103:8. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." God, yes, he gets angry, but it's for good reason. It's when we hurt each other, right? And sometimes it's when we hurt ourselves. Sometimes he gets angry at us because we're hurting ourselves. Sometimes we are the offender, offending ourselves. And so God will get angry with us, but he will subside, and his favor and his love is so much greater than that, and it's always in love. Like, as a parent, you do get angry with your children, but only because you love them, right? It's a different kind of anger. It's not a mean, cruel anger. It's a loving anger, and there's a huge difference between the two. I want to go to one more verse, and we're going to end here in a minute. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger," okay? So see how God is slow to anger? So then we're supposed to be slow to anger? It says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." But I want to focus on that word right there, has great understanding. How could you become somebody who has great understanding and is slow to anger? Somebody who can handle your emotions. How do you become that person? So I want to focus and give you guys four ideas that can help you become, you know, better with anger. And so we're going to just go through those real quickly, and then we're going to end with something a little different. The first one is understanding control. This is important for us to understand. The truth is, there are some things that are completely out of your control. They just are. And you need to be completely honest with yourself and ask yourself, can I do anything about this particular situation? Okay? And a lot of times you can. Sometimes there are things that are in your control. You can do something, at least pray, right? But ultimately, at some point, there comes a time where you have to let go and you have to let God take it. And you have to trust him, right? And so when you get to that place, sometimes letting go of control can be really freeing. It can be really good. It can be a breath of fresh air, right? And then for some of you, you need to take more control. I don't know. It's different for all of us. Some of you, you don't take enough control, and some of you are control freaks, right? And it's usually the control freaks are ruling the people that don't take enough control. So it's just like a weird balance of weirdness. And so if you're somebody who doesn't take enough control of the situation, you know, take more control. Are you messing up? Are you, you know, the problem? Then you can do something about that. You can fix that. Are you part of the problem? You can fix that. Is it literally just someone else and it's nothing, there's nothing you can do? Then you can still react well to that. Does that make sense? So understanding control is very, very important, and understanding what you have control of and what you don't. The next one is understanding patience. Patience is something that we're not really born with, I'm learning. Right? Like my kid, she's two, just turned two. Terrible twos aren't so terrible so far yet. Knock on metal, I guess. It's one of those things where, you know, I can see it in her where she just wants what she wants and she wants it now. You know what I mean? And she hasn't learned that. That's just in her. She, in fact, has to learn the opposite of that. She has to learn to be patient. And it doesn't just come naturally. The thing about, put the slide, guys, again, the patience slide. Go ahead and leave those up as I go through. I'm speaking to the cloud. It's the cloud. They're up there somewhere. The thing about patience, okay, is that patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so if you're struggling with patience, ask God for help. He gave his, Jesus said that he's leaving his Spirit here, okay, the Holy Spirit here, as a helper. And if you spend time with God and you ask him for help and you ask him for patience, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have more patience. And you're probably going to have more opportunities to use that patience, right? And so it's important to understand how important patience is. It's not something, I know that we don't like wake up in the morning and think, today I'm going to go out and I'm going to handle biz and be the most patient person I can. Like, we don't think like that, right? But maybe we should. Maybe we should wake up and think, today I'm going to be really patient. And my life and the people around me, their lives are all going to be better because of it. And they're going to see me. Here's the thing too. Well, one thing, a lot of things we don't realize, but one of the things we don't realize is these fruits of the Spirit are in place so that we can be better witnesses, See, like a lot of people think that, you know, the way you're going to win people over to Christ is by just telling them all the time, you know, that the truth. And sometimes, yeah, you got to do that. But I think the much bigger thing we can do is just practice being good Christians. Practice the things that God has called us to, like having patience. If people see these traits inside of us, they're going to wonder where you got it from, right? You get it from God. You get it from hanging out. The next one is understanding God. I really do believe that God is misunderstood, and I think it's a problem in our society. People don't understand who God is, that God is first a giver, first a lover, first someone who wants to take care of us. That's who God is. And there's no greater example than sending his son down on this earth to live and to die for our sins, right? Like, there's no greater example than that. And so the next one I'm going to spend a little more time on is understanding forgiveness. There's a scripture in Matthew 6 that I'm going to read. Go ahead and put that up, 6, 9 through 15. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. I've spoken on this plenty of times, but Jesus says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. You guys know this one, right? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't think that this is God being mean here. I don't think he's saying you better or else. I think what Jesus is actually saying is that in order to fully understand how much God has forgiven you and how much he has done for us, it would be like if you fully understood it and got it, it would be impossible for you to hold a grudge. It'd be impossible to hold unforgiveness in your heart. And so I understand that I don't understand everything about your life. And I understand that there probably are people in your life that have really done you wrong. In a room like this, there's probably some pretty bad stuff that's happened. And I'm just going to say this. I really believe that forgiveness has a lot less to do with letting people off the hook and a lot more to do with your own personal healing. This stuff is in there for a reason. Some of us don't want to forgive someone because we want to teach them a lesson. You don't want to forgive them because you don't want to allow them to have it. Well, they don't know or care. Maybe they do. I don't know where they are, but their business has nothing to do with your heart. Everything that has to do with your heart is between you and God. And if you're harboring unforgiveness towards somebody who may have done something horribly, horribly, horribly bad, okay, I get it. You're only hurting your own walk and you're only hurting your own heart. And so I want to encourage you guys tonight. We're going to do something that's a little, I don't know, might feel childish, but there's a lot of things in the Bible that are childish. There's a scripture where a man has leprosy. And he was asked by a prophet to just kneel down in a river 7 times. And you know why? Because sometimes just going through a motion of doing something, it does something to us. And so I want to do this. Let's just close our eyes right now. And if this doesn't pertain to you, just be praying for the people that it does. Okay? Simple. But for those of you that are holding a grudge or you're upset at somebody, I want you to think about that person right now. This might not be easy, but I want you to be brave and think about that person. Now, I want you to think about Jesus. Think about who Jesus is to you and think about what he's done for you. And think about what he does for you still today. And think about the fact that he walked down that road carrying a cross, and he stood on that cross. He was hung on that cross, and he bled out, and he took all the sins of all the world, and he, for the first time in his whole life, he had to feel the pain of God taking his face away from him. Think about that. And I want you to think about that person again that's hurt you, and I want you to just let them go. Let them go. And I want you to say in your heart that you forgive them. That person is not your problem. 100%, they are not your problem. That person belongs to God just like you. God will take care of it. Okay? God will take care of it. I promise you, God will take care of it. So let go. Stop dragging this with you. Stop dragging this weight with you that you don't have to drag. And let God do something with that damaged part of your heart. Let God rebuild that damaged part of your heart. Let God fill that damaged part of your heart. And let God do something amazing with that damaged part of your heart, because that part of your heart is being rebuilt right now, completely and fully restored. If you believe that, and you accept that and receive that, then it's true. But you got to trust. You got to believe that God really wants you to be complete and whole. Father, I just pray that you would bless everybody in here tonight. Some of the people that are in here tonight, they couldn't think of anything, or they couldn't think of anyone. I pray, Lord, that if there's something in their heart that they need to deal with, I pray that you'd cause them to think about it tonight. Cause them to think about it as they go home. Cause them to think about it and deal with it as soon as they think about it. I pray that you give them a fervency. But for those who have dealt with it tonight, I pray they would leave it and wouldn't pick that up again. Father, we thank you for who you are, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you guys want further prayer for this situation or anything else, if you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, these guys are up here to pray for you, okay? God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.